All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Today, we are going to be looking at this fascinating case, Vulcan Materials Company versus Adafina Chemicals Incorporated.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, and it gets to the heart of some really interesting parts of contract law.
Yeah, so I guess just to set the stage so we are all on the same page, we are talking about a requirements contract here.
Exactly. So just to kind of recap for everyone, a requirements contract is basically an agreement where one party agrees to supply all of another party's needs for a specific product.
Gotcha. So in this case, we were talking about chloroform.
Exactly, chloroform. And it was being used to make refrigerants.
And to make things even more, I guess, intense, this wasn't just any contract.
Oh, no.
This was an evergreen contract.
Oh, yeah.
So that means it was automatically renewing every single year unless one of the parties decided to, like, end it.
Right. And, you know, these evergreen clauses, they can really make things a lot more tricky when you are dealing with a situation like this.
Yeah. So in this case, we have Adafina. They are the buyer, and they are essentially stuck buying all of their chloroform from Vulcan.
Yeah, and they are not too happy about the price.
Yeah, I can imagine that's not an ideal situation.
No, not at all. And this is where the Uniform Commercial Code comes in.
Okay.
Specifically, we are talking about UCC Section 2306, which governs requirements contracts, and it basically sets out this idea of good faith.
Good faith.
Yeah, so it's like this two-way street where buyers can't just, you know, suddenly decide they don't need anything anymore just because they found a cheaper supplier.
Right, right. That makes sense.
And on the other side, sellers, they have to actually meet the legitimate demands of the buyer. You know, they can't just, you know, hold back on supply or try to jack up the price.
Yeah. So it sounds like it is all about finding that balance between the needs of both parties.
Absolutely. Finding that balance and making sure everyone is acting in good faith.
So let's talk about Adafina then. What were they actually doing that led to all of this?
Okay. So Adafina, they were producing this thing called R22 refrigerant. And they had been losing money on it for years.
Years.
Yeah. And it turned out that they were relying heavily on Vulcan's chloroform to make this refrigerant, but the price of that chloroform was really eating into their profits.
Right. So they were kind of in a bind.
Exactly. And, you know, anyone would want to find a way to, you know, make things a little more profitable.
For sure. But I'm guessing the court wasn't just looking at their bottom line.
You are absolutely right. The court really dug deep into their motivations. You know, they looked at internal documents, all sorts of stuff.
What did those documents show?
Well, those documents kind of painted a picture of a company that was, you know, not just unhappy with the price, but actively looking for ways to escape that price. You know, this wasn't just a simple case of the market going sour. They were really strategically trying to maneuver out of what they saw as a bad deal.
So it's like they were trying to game the system.
In a way, yeah.
Okay, so what did they actually do?
Well, they didn't just shut down their operation or anything like that.
What did they do?
They started making moves behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
Before even terminating the contract with Vulcan, they went out and secretly secured alternative suppliers for chloroform.
Oh, wow. So they were already setting themselves up for an exit strategy.
Yeah, it's like they were playing this high-stakes game trying to break free from Vulcan's grip on the chloroform market.
That is a bold move, I have to say, so I'm guessing this didn't sit well with the court.
You are catching on quick. Yeah, the court was not impressed, and this is where that whole idea of good faith really comes into play. You see, the court looked at the bigger picture, and they said, hold on a second. It's not just about Adafina's desire to find a better price. You know?
Right, it's about how they went about doing it.
Exactly. Their actions weren't really driven by a legitimate business need so much as just a calculated attempt to avoid their contractual obligations.
So it wasn't just about the what, it was about the why.
Exactly. And the court actually said, and I quote, "The inescapable core of Adafina's decision was a desire to avoid the chloroform price terms."
Ouch. That's a pretty strong statement from the court.
It is. It's like the court was saying, look, you can't just go around making moves like this just because you don't like the price you agreed to.
So they were definitely trying to sidestep the rules of the game.
You could say that, and this case really highlights that in contract law, the court cares about your motivations. You can't just restructure your entire business as a loophole to get out of a commitment you don't like.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I'm curious, what happened next? Did Adafina get hit with like a massive judgment or something?
Well, that is where things get really interesting. Even though the court found that Adafina acted in bad faith, the damages they had to pay were actually limited.
Wait, really? Why is that?
Well, it all goes back to that evergreen clause.
The evergreen clause strikes again.
The damages were capped at 12 months post-termination because remember, they technically followed the rules of the notice period.
Right, right. 12 months notice.
So even though they acted in bad faith, they were still protected to a certain extent by the terms of the contract itself.
So basically, the evergreen clause was like a shield for Adafina, even though they were in the wrong.
You could say that, and it really highlights why contract drafting is so important. You have to think about all the possible scenarios, all the what if, and make sure the language of the agreement clearly outlines the consequences for each party.
Yeah, it is like a game of chess. You have to think several moves ahead.
Absolutely. And this case is a great reminder that every little detail, every clause in a contract can have significant consequences down the road.
So it is not just about what you do, but why you do it and how you do it.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, I think that is a good place to stop. For now, we have covered a lot of ground already, and I'm sure our listeners are already thinking about their own contracts and how this case might apply to their situations.
Definitely a lot to unpack here.
But we will be back soon to continue this deep dive into Vulcan versus Aedifina, so stay tuned.
See you then.
Okay, so we've talked about how Aedifina's actions were seen as this, like, breach of good faith, but what about the damages? Like you mentioned, they were limited.
Right, and this is where it gets a little bit more complicated. Even though the court found that Aedifina was acting in bad faith, they didn't award Vulcan, like, a ton of money in damages.
Really? So how did that happen?
Well, the damages were capped at 12 months post-termination, because remember that evergreen clause we talked about earlier?
Yeah, that thing keeps coming back to haunt us.
Exactly. So even though Aedifina acted in bad faith, they technically followed the rules of the notice period that were outlined in the contract itself.
Oh, so it's like they were being sneaky, but they still, like, follow the letter of the law in a way.
Exactly. And it just highlights why contract drafting is so important.
Right. You have to think about all the possible scenarios, every single what if.
Absolutely. And you got to make sure the language of the agreement clearly outlines the consequences for each party, regardless of the circumstances.
So it's like that evergreen clause acted like a shield for Aedifina, even though they were in the wrong.
In a way, yeah. And it shows that every little detail, every clause in a contract can have these huge consequences down the road.
Yeah, this is making me want to go back and reread all of my contracts with a fine-tooth comb.
Good idea. It is always a good idea to stay on top of your contracts, especially when you're dealing with long-term agreements like requirements contracts.
So we've been focusing a lot on this whole breach of contract angle, but I remember reading something about Vulcan also making claims of, like, fraud and unjust enrichment.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But those claims were actually dismissed by the court.
Why is that?
Well, because the court found that the main issue, the real heart of the dispute, was all about the contract itself.
So it's like the contract was the rule book and everything had to be played out within its boundaries.
Pretty much. And the court emphasized that Vulcan's primary remedy had to come from that breach of contract claim. The fraud and unjust enrichment claims were basically seen as redundant.
Gotcha. So they were trying to go around the already established framework of the contract?
Yeah, they were kind of trying to double dip and the court wasn't having it.
Okay, so we've established that Aedifina's actions were not in good faith, but let's flip the script for a second.
Okay, I like where this is going.
What if Aedifina had actually gone bankrupt because the market for R22 just completely tanked, like they had no choice but to shut down? Would that have been considered good faith?
That's a really great question, and it gets to one of the most debated aspects of this whole case. You know, in that kind of scenario where Aedifina's demise was a direct result of something completely outside of their control, well, the court might have viewed their actions very differently. You know, it all comes down to intent and the idea of commercially reasonable behavior.
Okay.
If their decision to terminate the contract was truly a legitimate response to, like, a genuine business crisis, then it is unlikely they would have been found in breach of their good faith obligations. You know?
So it's not just about whether a company goes under, but the why behind it?
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
That's a really important distinction.
It is. The key takeaway here is that good faith isn't just like the static concept. You know, it's contextual. It depends on the specific facts of each case, the industry involved, the actions of the parties leading up to the dispute.
Okay, so there is no, like, one-size-fits-all definition of good faith.
Right. It is more of a guiding principle.
Man, this is giving me a whole new perspective on contract law. It's not just about these black and white rules. There's a lot of gray area that requires some careful consideration.
Absolutely, and that's why cases like Vulcan versus Aedifina are so valuable. They force us to grapple with these, like, complex issues and think critically about how these legal principles apply in real-world scenarios.
Right. If our listeners out there who are involved in, you know, negotiating or managing contracts, what would you say is the biggest takeaway from this case?
I think the biggest takeaway is to always think about the why behind every decision you make. You know,
the why.
How would a court view your actions in light of good faith obligations?
So it's not enough to just, like, follow the letter of the contract.
Right. You have to also consider the spirit of the agreement.
And make sure you are not doing anything that could be seen as, like, trying to gain an unfair advantage.
Exactly. Transparency, honestly, those are crucial.
It's almost like a legal puzzle where the pieces are always shifting.
I like that analogy.
You have to look at the big picture, the motivations of everyone involved, and the specific language of the contract to truly understand the legal implications.
Well said. And don't forget about documentation.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In this case, Aedifina's internal documents played a huge role in the court's decision.
Yeah, those emails and memos really came back to bite them.
They did. What you put in writing can come back to haunt you, especially in a legal dispute.
So, word of advice to everyone listening, be careful what you put in those emails.
Good advice.
All right, so the next time I am looking at a contract, especially one with an evergreen clause, I'm definitely going to be thinking about this case and the whole concept of good faith. It's a real game changer.
It is. And I think that is a perfect note to end on. Vulcan versus Adafina isn't just a legal precedent. It's a cautionary tale and a valuable lesson for anyone involved in the world of contracts.
Well, folks, there you have it. A deep dive into the murky waters of good faith and the consequences of playing fast and loose with contract obligations. Until next time, remember, every decision has a ripple effect, so make sure you're acting in good faith, not just with good intentions.
See you next time.